Welcome to Life North Church. We're glad you're taking some time to join us today for this podcast, or if you're on YouTube, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do as you meet with Him through this time. I think it's going to be well worth your time, that God's going to use it in a powerful way, and so we're going to take just a few minutes to hear from a great message and a great speaker from Life Church in our series Overflow.
Definitely. And we would love for you to like and subscribe so that you can continue to listen to this series and even other series that are coming up. And don't forget to leave a comment, because we would love to hear from you of what you're getting from this message and even how you can be encouraging other people who are reading through the comments too.
I love that. I love that we can be generous in that way and that God uses it and He multiplies it. And so as we go into today's message, give yourself an opportunity to hear from God, maybe in a fresh way, about how you can trust Him and how out of that trust, it can overflow into the lives of the people around you as we go into Overflow.
Hey, a big welcome to Team LC. I've got great news for you. We have a phenomenal guest speaker today. I want to introduce you in just a moment. But first, I got to tell you what's coming up, because we're talking a lot about it on October the 29th and the 30th. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring everybody. We're going to have the first Life Church Fall Festival, all 42 locations. We're gonna blow it out with all sorts of fun and games. And we really wanna make an investment in you to give you a chance to develop some friendships and community on that weekend. We're also gonna be launching a new message series. It's called Save the Date. And I can tell you that when I was dating Amy, I had about a bazillion questions and was looking for somebody to be a good mentor to help me learn how to have a godly relationship. And I wish I could tell you that there were a lot of available ones, but it was really, really hard to find good wisdom that would lead toward a godly marriage. I think it's one of the most important things we can talk about in the church, and we're gonna talk about it. Real, honest talk about dating, preparing for marriage. How do you fight for purity, and how do you have a marriage that really honors God? It starts on the same weekend as the Fall Festival. It's called Save the Date. Today, get ready. I wanna introduce to you one of the greatest men, greatest preachers, just an all-around world-class person. I've been wanting for a long time for a church to meet him. I like to bring in people that you can not just hear a message from, but you can actually follow and learn from over a period of time and grow closer to God through their ministry. This is one of those people that I want you to know. He is the pastor of Shoreline City Church, and I would love for you to give a warm Life Church welcome to my good friend, Pastor Earl McClellan.
Well, come on, Life Church. Be ready for a great day today, or what? Y'all fired up? I know I am. It is great to be with every one of you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. Matter of fact, if nobody said that to you today, just know you're beautiful. Matter of fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you're pretty. Tell them. You need to have some of that every now and then. That's the first time some of y'all ever said that to someone, right? Hopefully you'll end up with a date after church today because of that moment right there. I am honored, thrilled, excited to be here. To say I'm humbled, it would be an absolute understatement, because I cannot put into words all that Life Church means to my wife and I, how you have impacted our family personally, how you have impacted our church corporately, not only Pastors Craig and Amy, but the entire staff team and the entire church. You need to give yourselves a big round of applause for all you have done to advance the cause of Jesus Christ all around the world. Now, today, I'm excited to open up the Bible, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to use them today, and if you do not have your Bibles, that's okay. We'll put the words on the screen so you can follow along with us. You can make sure I'm not making anything up, right? Today, if you're taking notes, you can jot this down. This is a quick and easy title for today's message. It's this: we all need a fresh start. We all need a fresh start. Now, you already told somebody next to you that they're pretty, and if you're joining us online and you're sitting by yourself, then you can say it to yourself in your phone or in the mirror. But not you just being pretty, that really doesn't matter. You also need to know that you're really loved. Like, really loved. Not like kind of loved, but really loved. And the love that I'm talking about is a love that is unconditional, unending, and you can't do a thing about it. This is a love that comes from our glorious Savior, and we see it displayed in Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. This love is absolutely transformational for every single one of us, and it actually, this love is not dependent upon you. This love is all based on him. And do you know this, that God actually loves you exactly how you are? This is hard for some of us to comprehend because we know how jacked up we are. We know how messed up we are. We know all the mistakes we've made. So the idea of God loving us just how we are, that's a little bit hard to digest. But if you are willing to stick with me for a second, I just want to let you know that God does love you exactly how you are, but he also loves us way too much to let us stay that way. Like his grace keeps on pushing us forward. This love is so incredibly powerful and unending. And this love, we use this word all the time in the church, and it's this word called grace. Oh man, I like this word called grace. Oh, matter of fact, we have a daughter, and her name is Elle, Grace. That's how much we love the word grace. Maybe you heard the song, and if you haven't, then that's okay, but it's called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Written by a man hundreds of years ago, John Newton, who was a slave trader. And he came smack dab up against the grace of God, and it transformed him in such a way. And all these years later, we're still singing the song, singing the hymn that he wrote, because there's something so amazing about grace. Not only is there something amazing about grace, I'll submit to you that there's, I hate to even put it like this, can I say a problem with grace? I don't know. Okay, problem, quote unquote problem. Here's the only problem that I see with grace, is that God does such a good job cleaning us up that people who are broken, who look at us, think we've never been through anything. That's the only problem I think there might be. That there are people who are probably at church or sitting at home right now, and they're thinking, I'm the worst person in the room. I'm terrible. Nobody's like me. I'm the worst of the worst. And they're looking at me, and they're looking at you, and they're thinking, they don't know nothing. They've never been through anything. And you're dealing with bankruptcy, or you're dealing with needing to let employees go, or you're dealing with some other secret sin. Maybe it could be pornography. Maybe it could be some anxiety that you're dealing with. Maybe it could be just shame or guilt. It could be fear. It could be a host of different things. And you're looking at your own life and you're thinking, there's no one else like me. Little do you know, the people that you're sitting next to, the people that you've been singing with, the people that you've been serving with are the same individuals that have walked through hell. They have walked through the grave. They have walked through darkness. They have walked through pain, but the grace of God carried them the whole way through, and they are standing here or sitting here today only by the grace of God. Like, if God's grace did not show up, you won't even sit next to him. Matter of fact, if some of y'all knew who you were sitting next to, you might hold your purse a little bit tighter. But this is what the grace of God does. It cleanses us, and it's not based on us. It's all based on him. I'm gonna say this, and this is not gonna be popular. I recognize it. But there are ugly babies. There are ugly babies. I'm a pastor. We do baby dedications. And I've walked down that row sometimes. Just a little bit of a shiver, you know? You look up at mom and dad, you go, okay, this kid should be all right. Or, this kid's not gonna be all right. So I apologize, Pastor Craig, if that's inappropriate, if I went too far. But babies, and we got a whole bunch of them. I mean, it's healthy at our church. I mean, the Lord is working. I mean, there are babies on babies on babies on babies. And the thing about babies is they don't do anything except take. They just keep taking and taking and taking and taking. And we as adults, we will reorient our entire lives around these individuals that are making no significant contribution to the home at all. No dishes. They cannot take out the trash. They cannot drive anybody to a sporting event. They cannot add anything financially. And here we are giving and giving and giving. I'm thinking about God's grace. And I feel like we can be babies, and maybe some of us feel like ugly babies. And I have nothing to offer. But still, the God of heaven, by his own desire and design, because of his own character and goodness, said, I will extend my heart and my life towards you, and I'll care for you, even though you can't give me anything in return. This is what the grace of God does. I've got some verses here. Look with me at my first one. Our first one together. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, wow, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, not when we cleaned ourselves up, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I got this other verse. Look at this one. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Oh, this is a good verse, too. It's a little chunky, but it's good. Look at this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I learned this acronym years and years and years ago. Oh, maybe it's an acrostic. I don't know. One of the two. Somebody, you know, fact check me. But grace, at least in English, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You and I, walking in, living in the grace, the love, the change, the transformation, the goodness, the joy that comes from God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. If you're taking notes, you can jot down this verse too. It's one of my favorites as well. You can go through the Bible app later, YouVersion Bible app, and you can look all these up in a bunch of different translations. But jot down 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. It says, I pleaded three times, God, take it away. But he didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. All these verses that I just read to you, they were written by a man that some theologians would call the apostle of grace. His name is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote Romans and Corinthians and a whole bunch of the New Testament. This guy used the word grace over 100 times in all of his New Testament writings. All the other New Testament writers, all the other ones combined, only use the word grace 55 times. The Apostle Paul has this propensity, this passion, this zeal, this lean-in to grace. Why would he do that? Why would he have that type of passion? Why would he write about grace so vigorously? Why would he intertwine it? Of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But why would this mean so much to him? It's because of his past. It's because of where he had been and who he was. Do you know his name wasn't even originally Paul? It was actually Saul. And if you read in Acts chapter 7, again, jot it down a little bit later. You can read in Acts chapter 7 when the first martyr is being killed, Stephen. And they're throwing stones at him because of his faith in Jesus. The scriptures tell us in verses 58 and 60 that they handed the cloaks, their clothes over to this young guy, Saul, and he held their clothes as the religious leader stoned Stephen. The first murder of a Christian, this guy, Saul, is there holding the jackets. The Bible tells us he confirmed, he stamped, he approved of what was happening. You can skip down to Acts chapter 8, verse number 3. And in Acts chapter 8, verse number 3, you will see that the apostle Paul, who was Saul at that time, this guy is going from house to house. He is grabbing Christians out of their home. The Bible gives us a detail that he's dragging men and women out of their homes, and he is persecuting the church vigorously. This guy's a gangster. He's got an edge. He's got an axe to grind. Now go with me to Acts chapter 9. And look at this verse, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." This is the worst Twitter troll you could ever possibly imagine. This is beyond any hater maybe you've ever had. This is beyond the person that just keeps on being negative on all your posts. You're just trying to post about your grandkids, and here's this person always trying to say something negative. This guy is coming after the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, who are following Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Let me just tell you how committed this guy is to stomping out this thing they called the way, we would now call Christianity. Becoming a follower of Jesus. This is how passionate he was. Damascus was way up north from Jerusalem. Way up north. It was about 130 to 150 miles. There's no Tesla. There are no Ritz-Carltons on the way. This guy was so adamant that he wanted to stomp out Christianity, that he was willing to hop on whatever donkey or whatever horse or walk, some 6-day or a 2-week journey, just to kill and imprison Christians. He's walking up or riding up or however he's getting there. He's on his way to Damascus, probably talking junk. "I can't believe these Christians. I can't believe these people that belong to the way. I'm gonna kill these people. I know the true God." And he's mad. And then Jesus steps in. And it says, while he's nearing Damascus, Jesus shows up and it's this huge vision. And Jesus says, "Hey, Saul, Saul," calls his name twice. Because Saul's hard-headed like some of us. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." Saul is struck with blindness. He can't see. The men that he's with, they lead him into Damascus. Saul is sitting there in Damascus, sitting at some guy's house, and he's blind, and he's praying, and he's trying to figure out what is going on, because he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was going the right way. He thought he was making the right decisions. But then Jesus said, "I love you so much, and I know you think you're doing the right thing, but I've got to step in right here, and I've got to stop you in your tracks, because if I don't stop you here, you're not going to fulfill the plan and purpose that I have for you." I'm so thankful that we have a Savior that will always step in when we need him to step in. I'm so thankful that we have a Savior that even when we think we're going the right way, but we're going the wrong way, he steps in. So now Saul is sitting here blind. He can't see for 3 days. the Lord goes and talks to this other guy in church, Ananias. He says, Ananias, go over there and talk to Saul. Pray for him. Ananias says, ain't doing it. That dude came here to kill us, to imprison us. And Jesus said, get your behind up and go. He goes over there, prays for him. Scales fall from Saul's eyes. And look at this in Acts chapter 9. Look at this. Acts chapter 9, verse number 19, it says, he got up and he took some food. He regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. He goes from persecuting Christians to preaching about Jesus. So he's in Damascus. He does that for a little while. He ends up going back down to Jerusalem. And look what happens when he gets to Jerusalem. Watch this. Verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, remember that was the place where he was putting people in prison. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Duh. Not believing that he was really a disciple. They thought he was like coming in an informant or something. He, this guy's lying. He's probably trying to act like a disciple so we can find out where we meet and kill us all. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Saul's trying to get in with the apostles and the disciples. They're like, no, man, we know who you are. But Barnabas steps up and says, hey, come with me, Saul. I know these dudes. Barnabas grabs him, brings him in, and says, hey, everybody, chill. This is my man. Let me tell you what God has done in his life. Let me tell you how the grace of God has transformed him. Let me tell you how God met him on the road and how he preached fearlessly in Damascus. Let me tell you that this is a changed and transformed man, and all the disciples are okay with it. They're like, okay, cool. Just because of Barnabas? Well, then we have to ask the question, who's Barnabas? Why would Barnabas have this much weight? Why would he have this much pull? Why would he be in the disciples' ears and them say, okay, we'll listen to you? Here, my friends, is what blew me away. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse number 36 and 37. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Some of y'all are like, okay, what does that mean? First, you find out the guy's name's not even Barnabas. His name's Joseph. But they named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Huh. So this guy named Joseph is around the other disciples. He is so encouraging that they give him a nickname. They change his name from Joseph and say, that's Barnabas. He's always here encouraging everybody. He's always here speaking life to everybody. He's always here pouring hope into people. He's always here reminding people of the plans and purposes of God. He's always here telling people that God's on their side. He's always here lifting a room. He's always in somebody's ear giving them some encouragement. I know your mama named you Joseph. We're calling you Barnabas. My mom's name is Diane. Actually, it's Beatrice, but she doesn't like that. So she goes by Diane, but she's had the nickname my entire life and most of her life, Peaches. That's a sweet nickname, right? I mean, Peaches. Oh, it's Peaches. It's because when she was a baby, and she would take a bath, her skin would feel like peach fuzz. So they said, oh, Peaches. Joseph is such a life-giving encourager that the disciples say, we've got to change your name to encouragement. Son of encouragement. Then this guy, it seems as if he might be a property developer. Maybe he owns a few different pieces of land. Maybe he just owns one. I don't know. But what I do know is he sold his land and he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. And he said, use this to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. You want to know why Barnabas had influence with the disciples? It's because Barnabas was a man of encouragement and a man of generosity. And generosity and encouragement always open doors. So not only does the encouragement and the generosity open the doors, I need you to see this. I need you to see that the message that the Apostle Paul ended up preaching, this message of grace, and all these 100 verses of grace, they would not have happened, perhaps would not have happened, if this man Barnabas was not a man of encouragement and generosity. So can I submit to you that the gospel that we hear and we celebrate, the scriptures that we read, this beautiful love story of God's divine favor and empowerment and love for us, it is in part standing on the pillars of encouragement and generosity. And if we want grace to keep on making its way throughout the whole earth, I submit to you that encouragement and generosity will still need to be the pillars. Perhaps there would be no Saul turned to Paul who got the message out if Barnabas wasn't willing to speak words of life and to sell what he owned and say, God, I'm giving it to you. It was generosity and encouragement that made a way for grace. And I think generosity and encouragement are still making the way for grace today. Now, we would say things like, man, I want more grace in the world. Because, man, things are pretty jacked up in this world. I don't know if you've noticed at all, okay? Seems like everybody's lost their mind. People seem a little bit crazy. We're like, oh, we need more grace. We need more grace. We need more grace. Okay, if we need more grace, I think God might be saying, I want to see more encouragement and more generosity. Oh, man, I want to see more people come to know Jesus. I want to see more marriages restored. I want to see more single people understand their call and their purpose and their identity. I want to see more young people be formed into the character of Christ. I want to see more issues of injustice and fear and racism and sexism and depression. And I want to see all these things pushed by the wayside. I want to see this stuff torn down. And I think God is saying, hey, I've got grace for days. I'm just wondering, can I have a church that'll be willing to keep on giving encouragement and generosity for days? Now, the beautiful thing about You Life Church is this is already in your DNA. But if you're new to the church, if you're new to this place, and you're trying to figure out how we do things, let me just let you know that we are a place that believe in the goodness and the grace and the love of God. And we also believe that God has given us this Barnabas role to play, to say, God, everything I have, every fault, every failure, but also every blessing and every provision, all of it belongs to You. you. So with a heart of gratitude, God, I say, I'll sell it all and I'll give it to you, because I want grace to make its way into every family, every man, every woman, every school, every college, every neighborhood, every nation. That's what we're believing God for. Yeah, I encourage you to make it practical too. You gotta make it practical. Because some of us are like, I don't know how to encourage. Yeah, you do. Just say something nice. And if it doesn't come naturally to you, then put it on your phone as a reminder. Okay, beep. Encourage wife today with a text. Send the text. She will not care that you had to have a reminder to send her that word of encouragement. Wives for husbands, roommates, siblings. Make it practical. Make it automatic. My wife and I did this with our generosity, with our money. We make it automatic. Yeah, we're so thankful for Dave Ramsey, and we've taken those steps and done the course, and it's so wonderful, but we also make it automatic. I get paid. Automatically, God, you get it first. My wife and I have even taken some steps at times when we're believing God for miracles. Like, 'cause sometimes, you know, there's like a gap between what you need and what you have. You're like, man, God, I could use another $1,000 a month. Wouldn't that be nice, right? There's been times we said, okay, Lord, we're going to start to tithe off of the money we don't even have yet. So we're going to start to give an extra 100 as we believe for another 1,000. Not because we're trying to get something from God. It's to say, God, you've been so good to us already. Just want you to know you can trust us with more. You give us more, we're given more. Not for our fame, but so that more grace can reach the world. What has happened through YouVersion, what has happened through Open, what has happened through this church family, what has happened through your lives already is the grace of God is making its way all around the world. People's lives are being changed and transformed. I actually am a person that's on the other side of your generosity and encouragement. I am actually someone that's been positively impacted because you said yes. You have been a Barnabas to me. You've been a Barnabas to our family. You've been a Barnabas to our church. And there are a whole bunch of other people just like me all over the world. Some speak English, some don't. Some are tall, some are short. There's some ugly babies out there and some pretty ones. But with all of them, the grace, the message of God's grace, will reach them on the pillars of generosity and encouragement. If you wouldn't mind, bow your head for just a moment. Jesus, over every man and woman who is a part of this beautiful church family, I pray that your grace would overflow to them and through them, and that it would ride on the wings of generosity and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give God some praise, Life Church? Love you so much and cheering you on.
Come on, church.
Hey. Thank you, sir.
Come on, help us tell Pastor thank you. I don't know if our church was ready for that fire. You kind of brought it today. Hey, let's just continue in that attitude of prayer. God, thank you for a church that is an avenue for grace, full of people that are encouragers and people that are generous. God, we give you praise today. As you're reflecting on God's word today, I wonder how many of you, you want that Barnabas spirit. You want to be a carrier of light and encouragement. You want to be a blessing through your generosity at all of our churches or wherever you're watching from. If you want to be even more full of faith, even a bigger voice of encouragement, to grow in your generosity, would you lift up your hands right now? I hope every hand goes up online. Just type it in. Count me in, count me in, count me in. Father, thank you so much for a church full of people that believe the best, that are full of faith, that lift up the name of Jesus everywhere they go. God, thank you that in our communities, day after day, we carry the good news of Jesus, that we're meeting needs, God, that we're partnering with local ministries and organizations to bring healing and hope and life and love and grace. And God, thank you for all the people through the church and around the world that are coming to know your son Jesus because of the encouragement of your family. God, in a dark world with so much negativity and criticism and toxicity, God, thank you for the light that shines brightly in the darkness. God, increase the intensity of our light. God, may we be people of hope and grace and encouragement. And God, help us to grow in our generosity, knowing that it truly is more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. And God, in a skeptical world, when many people doubt even the motives of Christians, God, I pray that we would have the faith, the courage, the generosity to even symbolically sell whatever we have and come bearing gifts, gifts of grace, gifts of generosity, that they would say there's something different with these people. We've been changed by your grace. Make us agents of grace through encouragement and through generosity. As you keep praying today without looking around, I love Pastor Earl. You talk so much about the grace of God, 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 that we're not saved. We're never made right with God by our own works, by our own efforts. We can't. But we're only made right with God by grace, the grace of God through faith in Jesus. God's riches, his goodness, his riches at Christ's expense. What does this mean? The reality is, very simply, there are some ugly babies. There's some ugly people. And the bottom line is, all of us can be very ugly. We've all sinned. We've all done things we're ashamed of, and we know it. We feel guilty internally. What does that mean? We've all sinned against God, against his holiness, and we know it. The good news is that God, in his love and mercy, because of his grace, he became one of us in the person of Jesus, God in the flesh. Jesus was holy and perfect without sin and became the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. He died in our place, and God raised him from the dead. And the good news is, you talk about grace? Do you talk about grace? When we call on that name, the name of Jesus, all of our sins, everything we've ever done wrong is forgiven by God, and we become new. The old is gone, and everything becomes new. There are many of you, you're watching today, you're at a Life Church location, you're watching online, and you're here for this moment. You recognize you need God's grace, you need his forgiveness. What we're gonna do today, we're gonna step away from our own life. We're gonna call on the name of Jesus. The moment you do, God hears your prayers. Heaven opens up, your sins are forgiven and you're made new. All over the world today, at all of our churches, those who say, yes, I need Jesus, I need his grace. Forgive me of my sins. Today I surrender my life to Jesus. Jesus, I give you my life. That's your prayer. Lift your hands higher right now. All over the place, lift them up. All of our churches, praise God for those of you today saying yes to the grace of Jesus online. Just type it in the comment section. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. Just type that in. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. Would you pray today? Just pray, Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Save me, Jesus. Make me brand new. I want to know you, and I want to serve you, and I want to follow you. Thank you for your grace. Make me an encourager and generous in every way to show people your grace that makes us new. My life is not my own. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hey, could somebody celebrate? Welcome those born into God's family today.
I hope that God is speaking to you in the way that he was to us through that message. It was so good. And as you're listening, maybe even go over that again, God has something fresh for you each time. And so come back, listen to it again, allow God to speak to you in a new way. This is such a powerful series, Overflow, and I know there is so much more still to come.
Yes, this has been a great series just about generosity and giving. And so if you'd like to partner with us in the mission work that we're doing of leading people to become fully devoted followers, then we would love for you to visit our website at lifenorth.church. And there under the hub, there is a place for you to give. Or you can also e-transfer us at giving@lifenorth.church. And your donations are truly appreciated. And we just thank you for how you're partnering with us so that we can impact lives and be able to share the message of Christ and just be able to build a community of people who are loved and connected with each other.
And the fact that we get to partner and how God uses that and really increases it and makes a difference in our world is so amazing, and that we get to be a part of that. Well, we would love for you to be an ongoing part of what we're doing here at Life North Church by hitting that like button, that subscribe button, or sharing this with somebody else and pass that blessing on to them as well. And that way you don't miss out, they won't miss out. And so come back, join us next week for Overflow here at LifeNorth.Church. And we want to do that because we know whoever finds God finds life.
I have a vision for a church that loves others more than we've been loved, who serve others more than we have been served, that gives more than we have received. People so overwhelmed with the love of God that we love and accept people right where they are, but we love and point them to a Jesus who will make them new. When we come together, we are the local church, and we believe that the local church is the hope of the world.